to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
And Roman Reigns truly is in rarefied air, holding victories over both The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. But he does not hold a victory over me. No, matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. I have a victory over Roman Reigns, which just happened this Friday at Super Showdown when I defeated him. Huh? I am very proud of myself. Thank you very much.
This is Shane McMahon. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 15th. Holidays today?
Just a couple.
National Hollering Contest Day. Can you guys do a suey for me?
Suey!
All right, I think that's what they do there. Also, it's National Photography Day, Smile Power Day, Global Wind Day, and World Jugglers Day. None of the above I can do. All right. Happy birthday to former WCW wrestler Scott Norton. He turns 58 today. He's a young man still. I'm sure he's still out there doing it. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us July 6th for UFC 239 at Salvatore's Saloon. Salvatore's at the garage door. 10 p.m. start time. You want to get there early? John Jones is in the main event. That's right. Rochester's own. Endicott's own. Arizona's own, wherever he is now, but he originally was spawned here in Rochester, so we claim him. And he will be fighting in the main event there, July 6th, Salvatore Saloon. Salvatore's at the garage door, UFC 239. Interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. Flower City Fear are the men's team in town. If you're interested, it's F-L-O-U-R. Look it up on Facebook. They've got home games the 29th. They have three games at home. We'll be talking about them as we get closer. I want to thank you for listening. We're going to talk. Let me introduce the cast and crew real quick. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined this week by Double B, Brian Burke.
Good morning.
Double E, Eric Eminon.
What's going on, guys?
Joins us. And, of course, Danger Boys at the Twitter, I think.
I'm here.
Oh, did you get it turned on and everything?
Yeah, everything's turned on.
Okay, you push the right buttons?
Yep.
Okay. We are live, and we're live on Facebook. If you're a Facebook fan of us on Pain_Clinic on
yes.
Facebook? You can see the handsome...
I don't know what it is on Facebook. I never looked at that.
Well, just look up Pain Clinic on Facebook. Yeah. You'll find it. You'll see Danger Boy, Brian Burke, and Eric Eminon. Double B, double E.
If you find a chiropractor, you're at the wrong place.
Oh, is the Pain Clinic a chiropractor place? You know what? It makes sense because I get a lot of emails for stuff like that.
Join
our elusive group of doctors in your area. It's like
apparently it's Bailey's birthday as well, and you missed
it's
that.
It's Bailey?
That's what someone just said on the...
Oh, jeez.
The text line.
Well, I'm not the only one who forgets about Bailey. You just put her, you know, give her a title and then see if she shows up on TV at all.
She was on Tuesday.
Let's see. Well, then Monday, the fans were cheering for her.
But we got to get Shane McMahon on TV.
Oh.
For 50 minutes.
Oh. We don't need him for that much.
Horrible.
Yeah, well, we will. He's
all Shane all the time.
It was Shane both on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
In fact, we got. Okay, it is 15th. Pamela Rose Martin. Sorry. Bailey, happy birthday. A big hug to you. I am in the hugger zone. If you could see the sign behind me, the hugger section. And that's I got to sit in the hugger section.
And right under that is the framed restraining order.
No, for the artiste in Trish.
There's more than one.
Get it right. It's artiste.
There's the Michelle Beadle one.
Yeah. No. All right. So my pardons, Miss Bailey, Miss Pamela Rose Martinez. Happy birthday to you too. I don't even know how old. Oh, sorry. She is 30 on the button. Today's happy 30th to Bailey.
We can do simple math.
And yeah. She still looks like a fifth grader when she goes in the ring.
Well, you know, when you have your hair tied up on your side of your head like that, you're always going to look like you're about, 15 years younger than you are.
Hey, she's bringing it back.
She's bringing it back. And you know what? All the little girls out in the crowd are dressed the same way.
There you go.
No problem. If she can bring young people to watch wrestling, power to her. Well, welcome to the show. Did I get through everybody? Danger Boy. Yeah, we're on. That's right. Facebook. We're on. We're Danger Boy. We're doing this thing, and we're gonna talk pro wrestling right now. And Eric, how's it going, buddy? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Finally getting some sleep. Newborn's working me over hard.
Oh, that's tough. His first week on the show, he had a newborn. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and now, last week I slept a total of like an hour and a half. Friday leading into Saturday.
Oh no!
It was just she was up a lot, and then after that she decided to only wake up at 2 and 4. So. Yeah, I'm pretty good this week.
Yeah, you are rested. You are a family man.
I am. And happy Father's Day weekend to all the dads out there.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about that. That's tomorrow.
Yeah, my kids did not let me forget about it. My kid threw a present at me that weighed about as much as a stone. So I'm hoping that it's a stone. That she wrapped up for me. And my son told me if I look in his backpack, he was going to punch me in the head. So, I got that.
Now, is it a worked punch or a real one?
Okay. No. This is the 5-year-old who wants to play football because he wants to tackle people.
Oh.
He's not in it for the glory. He's in it for the pain.
He was born aggressively.
Yes.
he's got ruthless aggression.
Yeah.
There we go. It starts at 5. That's maybe a good sign or maybe a bad sign. I don't know. Depends on what sign you're born under. But, great. How about you, Brian? How's things been going this week? I saw Brian came out with me to the UFC this past week. We had a great crowd, which not surprised me, but there was like some incredible fights we got.
Yeah, there were some really good fights. I enjoyed it. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. I know you're all dressed. If you guys are watching on the Facebook Live, you're seeing that Brian's all dressed. He's in the Cub Scout gear.
Boy Scout, but that's okay.
Boy Scout gear.
Yeah, I have an Eagle Scout ceremony that I got to go to right after we're done with the show.
So. Oh, man. So and then you get the restraining order after that, right?
Yeah, I'm going to hang it on the wall with all yours.
Okay. And Danger, of course, how was your week?
I can't complain. I mean, I had to sit through 5 hours of WWE programming. So
that's
a little torturous.
We all did that. Thank goodness, I think SmackDown was a rerun of Raw because we got to start
that's
the
what
show.
It's been since they did the wild card
the last,
rule.
So. The last two shows have started the same exact way.
Apparently, there are only about 15 superstars in the WWE because that's about all that ever shows up on Raw and SmackDown.
And so you mean all the other ones are waiting for their contracts to run out so they can go someplace else that might use them correctly.
Once again, I said it before, I said it again, I'll take league minimum.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, okay. Eric Abaddon, when they come to town here, man, we'll just push you in the back door and
there you
stick you in their faces.
There we go.
222-1280, *12 is number. We're going to, we got a lot to talk about, but I might as well go to Mike, because Mike always seems to be the most intelligent caller on this show at times. Mike, how are you doing today?
Thanks for the compliment. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. you're a great fan of not only the W, or the E, as they call it, but you're a fan of a lot of other stuff, so that's a big plus for this show.
Absolutely. And actually, that's why I wanted to call about, because, I don't know, did you guys watch the New Japan Dominion show last Sunday morning?
Did not see it.
I did not.
I'm going to go back and watch the I mean, you had to be up late, right? Or up early? Wait a second.
Well, the job I have is I work early in the morning. So when I came home, I actually watched, not the entire show, but I watched the main 4 matches, which was the John Moxley match and then the top 3 matches.
We know that John Moxley walked off with a title in his first match in New Japan.
Correct. Beat Juice Robinson for the U.S. title.
And by the way, folks, if you don't know who John Moxley is, because if you only watch the E, then you don't know who John Moxley is.
Former Dean Ambrose.
That's right, Dean Ambrose, the husband of Renee Young, as well as now the new Intercontinental Champion?
U.S. Champion.
U.S. Champion.
U.S. Champion. Yeah. IWGP U.S.
I love how Japan has a U.S. champion.
Right.
We should have a Japanese title here, right?
Oh, boy, yes, exactly. That'd be the way for Shinsuke Nakamura to get on TV.
Yeah, probably right. Would,
exactly.
As long as they get to wrestle like they're in Japan, not like they're in the E,
Right, exactly. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was that match, there was a match between Kota Ibushi and Tetsuya and Naito. And these guys are great wrestlers. I actually watched them live at Madison Square Garden with the New Japan Ring of Honor show.
Yeah.
And one of the things that like they do a lot is they drop each other on their heads, like, all the time. Like, and there was a spot in that match that was, like, really, really scary.
I heard it. Someone might have lost their vision due to a rough landing on the outside.
Yeah, it was Ibushi. Yeah. Because what happened was they're on the apron. And what Tetsuya Naito wanted to do was do a German suplex from the apron to the floor.
Ooh.
Yes. So what happened was, I don't know, like, if Ibushi didn't rotate properly. I think that's what happened. He didn't rotate properly, and his head hit the apron. Like a big thud, boom. And I thought he broke his neck, like literally right then and there. But the match went on for like another 12, 13 minutes, and eventually Naito, well, I won't spoil it for you, but Naito won.
I saw the still shot of the suplex, and it did not look like he was going to come down in the right spot when he hit that apron.
No.
Yeah. It looked disgusting. I watched the clip probably 10 times over when it first started popping up in the Facebook feed there, and I don't know. You have so much room on that apron. Like, there's a lot of room there. And
yeah.
So it's like you would assume if the German suplex is going to be on the apron, it's a straight back. I honestly, I wouldn't say it didn't look like he rotated enough. It just doesn't look like there was enough oomph behind the German suplex to get him to the floor. Because when he came down hard on the shoulder and partially on the neck. And it did look disgusting, but I don't know. I don't think it was that crazily unsafe if you really think about it, because I mean it's not like the independent scene where you're not always getting padding on the outside. Like, that the outside of that ring's pretty padded, like, let's be honest.
No, I understand that, but I just the basic premise that I was getting at is like the takeover in Connecticut the week before that ladder match.
Yeah,
I mean I felt like they were trying to kill Kyle O'Reilly in that match. Like,
yes.
There were spots in that match that were unbelievably ridiculous, and Kyle O'Reilly was getting, the ladder was getting thrown in his face. He's getting slammed in the back of the ladder.
He got Malachi crunched by the ladders between them. Yeah, that was insane.
Yes, and basically, I don't know. It's like, I'm not saying I'm a worker or anything like that, but I don't want to go back to 1986 primetime wrestling when everybody's doing chin locks on the mat. For seemingly forever, but I just wonder, like, is there, like, do these guys, like, worry about having, like, head and neck problems when they're 40, 50 years old? Because there's guys like Edge and Steve Austin and so many, like, Mitsuhiro Misawa is one of the greatest wrestlers I ever seen in the 1990s, and he died in the ring because of, he took one too many bumps on his head, okay? And there's, like, Shibata. He can't wrestle anymore because he did a shoot headbutt in a match against Okada. And I think a lot of these guys today have to slow down a little bit. I'm not trying to say that, like I said, go to be all methodical like a Randy Orton of the world, but there has to be like a happy medium. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, you know, what do we like New Japan for? I think they're the hard hits, the insane moves. The bumps that are just, you wouldn't believe something. Like, for instance, Kenny Omega diving through the rope halfway up the aisle, landing on people. You know, it's like things like that, you know, or jumping off the top rope and doing crazy stuff. Yeah, you have to, and don't get me wrong with New Japan. I love that stuff, but they do it in the beginning of the match, in the middle of the match, in the end of the match.
Yeah.
Those high spots really are meant for at the very end where you can, like, you know, get a conclusion to what we're seeing, you know? I just don't, sometimes I think that, and, you know, because like I said, I watched that Kenny Omega match from last year's, was the big one in January.
Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom. And where he, in the first 10 minutes of the match, he did three of Seth Rollins' finishers in the ring, as well. What he threw the guy up and you clothesline him down. Sling Blade.
Oh, that's Sling Blade, yeah.
He did like three of those in a row, and I remember when Seth Rollins was finishing matches with those. He did them in the first 10 minutes, and then he decided to dive through the ropes, landed on the guy, and then kind of got tossed off of him, landed on the grating that the ramp that came down to the ring, and then it's like, and then there was 15 more minutes of match, and that was just the beginning of it. So it's like, I mean, I love high spots, don't get me wrong, but I mean, you know, I think that's all New Japan. I'm not going to say it's all high spots, it's all, you know, it's all aggressive kicks. you know, aggressive striking in the matches and stuff. And but I agree. I think, you know, you really got to slow it. That's why some of them come to the WWE. Maybe that's why, you know, we've got some of the people from New Japan here now, because they don't have to do that stuff every match.
But here's the other thing. The WWE, like, their injury rate is as high as I've ever seen it. Like, their guys and women, too, they're constantly being hurt. Like, all the time.
Like, a perfect example, Lars Sullivan.
He's got a knee injury, and I don't even think he's had, like, what, two main roster matches?
Yeah, they wanted to have him on every week, and then it's like it's been so bad this past week that they canceled the SmackDown match, and he looks like he's going to be going on the IR for a while.
Yeah, I just think that, like, remember, like, Daniel Bryan was out for those few weeks because he was supposed to have the rematch of Kofi Kingston and Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
And I believe he got a concussion. Like, I was at the WrestleMania live, and I believe he got a concussion in that match, because there's a spot where Kofi Kingston does the cattle mutilation to Daniel Bryan, which is his move, but he did it back to him.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt he kicked him, like, right in the head. And his head hit the mat, like, really, really hard. And the reason why I don't think they don't want to talk about it is because, obviously, it's very sensitive with him and his concussion history and all that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, every single match he has gets reviewed by doctors in the past year. Gets reviewed, and then they say whether, and then if he does come out with a concussion, then I'm guessing that probably was it. It was, what, about 5 weeks he was out? So it doesn't surprise me.
He was supposed to get that rematch, and it ended up going to Kevin Owens. Because I don't think Kevin Owens was supposed to turn that quickly.
Well, I don't think Kevin Owens was supposed to be part of that at all, but because of Big E getting hurt, that's what kind of happened,
right.
You know?
Right.
So, I don't know. People do get hurt, and I mean, it is, you know, physical business, you know what I mean? And mistakes happen, and it's like, I mean, like Alexa, how long was Alexa Bliss out before she started to be allowed to wrestle again?
Yes, and that's the other one I wanted to bring up. Glad you brought that up, because in that match on Raw, Bayley does a sunset flip bomb to her on the turnbuckle. I'm like, come on. Like, this girl's had three concussions already. That's basically what I'm getting at. Like, where's the agents to say, you know what, let's have her do a few matches. Let's have her go for, like, a couple weeks before you start doing bumps like that. It's not like Alexa Bliss is the greatest wrestler in the world to begin with.
I was going to say that. I can't remember a really great match she's ever been in.
No, exactly. So when you have her take those bumps, you're risking her getting hurt permanently. And I just... that's why I wanted to call, because I just felt like watching, like, all these matches over the last couple weeks, and don't get me wrong, there's more great wrestling now than ever before, but I do think that some of these old timers are right when they say that they need to slow it down a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, Steve Austin will say that all the time, these guys need to slow it down a little bit, make the stuff mean something. I think there's some truth to that.
I agree. And I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
All right. What do you guys think?
Especially when you're on the road, what, five days a week?
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing that every day, 5 out of 7 days a week, that's going to take a toll on your body.
At the same point in time, though, you got to remember that it's a different environment. In the WWE, in the bigger leagues, you know, you have your massage therapist, you have your chiropractors there on call at, you know, every minute that you're, you know, in the arena. So I think that people often forget that wrestlers are in the business to create moments. And I think that's the case with New Japan is, you know, we're in a social media era now where you have to stand out. You know, and the more you stand out, the better, more or less, your push is. And
sure.
So if you keep seeing these clips shown of Omega and Ibushi and all of them, you see all these clips shown, it's because of the fact that they are moments that are being made. Yes, you're risking your life and limb, but at the same point in time, so was Stone Cold Steve Austin in the 90s. So was
True.
The Rock.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Was Foley. I mean, the clip going around of Foley losing his ear is a perfect example of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Then someone threw it away. If you read the book,
yeah.
They retrieve it out of a garbage can and put it on ice so that they could attempt to put it back on, which never went back on. So, yeah, Danger, you have thoughts on that? I mean,
yeah, it's. I mean,
I love New Japan. Don't get me wrong.
If you remember back in the early 2000s, WWE tried to re-educate their fans after the whole Attitude Era, and it didn't really work out too well. They cut down on the Hardy stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's when blood got made illegal. You know,
and if you do listen to the old timers, they do say back in those days they worked more dates, but there was a lot less injuries.
Yeah.
Now, I also think back in those days, they also worked through a lot more injuries than people do nowadays because they didn't know they were as hurt as they were.
I will also say back in those days, to be honest with you, you would get a match that would have maybe two or three high spots in them, and they would be at the end of the match, and they would spend 15 minutes building up to that, you know. And sometimes it would just be the heel.
Well, that's something that has been lost in today's wrestling. They don't tell the story like they used to.
You'd have the heel like rubbing, you know, sticking his fingers in the eyes, and the guy would be on the ground trying to recover from it, and then he'd go around and taunt to the crowd and say, "No, he didn't do it," to the referee, and then the referee, he'd say, "Hey, look over there, a guy's coming in the ring," and he'd go and do it again. And
I also think there is a lot of guys who make up for a lack of charisma with doing these more risky moves.
Oh yeah,
they can't hold the, you know, crowd in the palm of their hand with their actions or their facials or anything like that. So they do something crazy to get the crowd looking at them. And I mean, it's their way of standing out. Unfortunately, those guys have shorter careers.
True. And I mean, and you know, it's a fine balance, I think, in a pro wrestler too. I think, like I said, I think the WWE, you catch their attention when you're doing these mind-blowing matches, but when you get moved up to WWE, they say, "Hey, you got to slow this down or your career will be over." And then we get, we get people, you know, not being used and making, but then again, Eric said he would like to sign up for the minimum.
Right.
Yeah, you know, just I'd take the minimum and, you know, whatever they do with you, maybe they'll put you on in the, you know, dark match before, or have you come out and, you know, and like a producer and break people up in a big fight or something.
Right. We make Eric one half of the Monroe County Tag Team Champions.
Okay. Oh, yeah, YOLO. Yeah, the YOLO chain. We're going to go to break on that. Give us a call. What do you think? 222-1280 Star Toy. Does this even cross your mind as a fan of wrestling, or do you just like watch it for the pure entertainment's sake? And then if you do, I feel sorry for you because you've been hurting the last few weeks with what WWE's doing. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Repetitive cycle with Brock Lesnar, where he does something to you, so you do something to him, and he does something to you, so you do something to him. It's this swirl of toxic masculinity, and both of you trying to protect your fragile egos.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a real treat tonight, because the Planet's Tag Team Champions are putting their titles on the line against the YOLO County Tag Team Champions in a title unification match.
Well, here's what you need to understand. You see, those lines belong to you. And when it comes to getting what I want, there is no such thing as too far. Now, as I understood it, I was coming out here to discuss potential challengers to my United States Championship. But if you want to continue down the road of stepping across lines, then maybe we'll delve in it together. And maybe I should be talking about your family.
This is Samoa Joe. You're listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little Joe coming back. I got to tell you, I love Joe, okay? Don't get me wrong. I love Joe. He might be an answer to getting them out of the doldrums, is to go to pick on some other people who are lower card people and put them, bring them up into a more prominent position.
Like the whole picture they established for the IC title, or
yeah, where they brought out five people.
US.
Yeah, the US title. They brought out like five people who like said, "Oh, you want to throw this out?"
And Cesaro had the best interview of all history in that. He came out and just punched Ricochet in the mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. And Ricochet said, "I like Ricochet." He's like, "I'm not the biggest guy. I'm not the strongest guy, but I like to throw my hat in the ring."
But they've spoiled me already because I'm something special, and they make me seem like a clown.
Yeah, yeah.
They put little cartoon noises in my music.
Pew, pew. All right. So welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, joined by Danger Boy, Eric Eminon, Double B, Brian Burke, Peter Burke. We've got the Cubs. The Boy Scouts have taken over the on-air studio. If you're watching us on the Pain Clinic Facebook live feed, you can see these nice suited young men, and you know they're going off to.
Well, there's one young man.
Okay, one young man and Brian. So, and he's not even listening. So, 222-1280 star 12. We got a couple calls on the line. We're gonna go first with Troy in Rochester. Troy, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Who was the guy's name to call before me? Was it Mike? Was it Mike?
Mike from Rochester. Okay. Yeah, Mike.
Hi, Mike. I just want to say hi. You did bring up some good points. But you got to remember this, too. It's a physical sport. And they do train before they do all of this stuff in the ring. I mean, they got to know that in like NXT, you got the training center and whatnot. So they do all these spots, you know, training before they do it, actually, in the ring. Sometimes you have slips. That's what happens. You have slips.
Troy, have you ever seen a New Japan show?
Yes.
Okay. They do so many risky moves that a slip is going to happen a bit more often.
I can also tell you do not train doing German suplexes on the apron.
Yeah, you don't train for doing some of these things.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, so I mean, you do it in the middle of the ring, it's great, but when it's like you got to trust a guy who's going to be doing it to you on the ring apron.
It's only the hardest part of the ring.
It's a part that doesn't
remind you every time.
Yes, that's right, because that's where the metal bar goes underneath it, you know, to keep it structure integrity.
Yeah, sometimes pads shift and it's just all wood.
So
the best.
Eric's a worker. Listen to him. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying too. But you got to remember, they're professionals, though.
Professionals that are contract employees, not actually under a contract to the WWE, but you know, which doesn't allow them to get health insurance, nor does it do they get compensated at all by having their taxes taken out. So they are what do they call them again?
Independent contractors.
So they technically don't even work for the WWE.
WWE might be losing that status in California.
If that happens in California, it'll happen all across the country. Yes. They better be ready, because they're going to lose a ton of money and their stock's going to go down.
Yep.
So, you know, I call them a wrestler part stuntman, because that's what they are. But, you're right. They do need insurance though, and stuff like that. Injuries, I mean, just ask Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. Yeah. Injuries happen in weird ways. Hockey is a physical sport.
Yeah.
Football is a physical sport. These are highly professional people who are willing to take the risk. But, you know, I don't want to see nobody get hurt.
Let me say this. They practice what they do. Their mission is to not hurt the other guy, because they have to go do it the next night in another town.
I'm also going to tell you that football gets paid a lot more and has a union that takes care of their health benefits. Hockey gets paid a lot more, has a union that takes care of their health benefits.
Yeah, I was going to say, wrestling, Eric, you know, I mean, you work these guys. You don't want to hurt the guy you're working. In reality, I mean, you may want to look like you're hurting them, but you want to, you know, you guys have
I
to do it.
I always
want to
hurt them.
They have to, you know, be able to go home and provide a living for their family. So when people get hurt as often as they do, it's kind of makes you wonder, are they being rushed up, or is it they're just asking for more?
I don't even think it's a case of being rushed up, because a lot of these guys you'll see perform in NXT and have no problems. I think you get a lot of compatibility issues when you get to the main roster, because you're expected to do things on NXT to show up and stand out. Whereas in the WWE, you know, the main roster, you're there. If you have established things you do, you got to hope other people can do those things. Like, not everyone's going to be able to do what Ricochet does, and not everyone's going to be able to take what Ricochet does.
Perfect
example is a 630 to someone's knees. You know,
which we saw two a week ago.
And it's one of those things where you watch it, and it's a sport where not everyone can do everything that's being done. You know, you have your limits, and it is a contact sport. But unlike baseball, there's a lot. 9 times out of 10, it's a contact injury that you get in professional wrestling. You know, and like you said, there are some slips, but at the end of the day, your job as a professional, you can't slip. Yeah. You can't slip, because your opponent, your lives are in their hands, and their lives are in your hands.
That's why, like, you can look at like the miraculous run of AJ Styles over the last couple of years, because he can do everything in the ring.
He's durable. He's a very durable person. I'm gonna tell you what's the problem with the WWE. Do we have to see Roman Reigns every week? Do we have to see AJ Styles every week? Do we have to see Shane McMahon every week? They need to mix it up, you know. If let me do a simple thing. Say AJ Styles wrestles in the main event, let's say SummerSlam, at about 10:30, the match starts. And then he wrestles on Raw at the very first hour, 8 o'clock. That's two matches in less than 24 hours, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Two matches in less than 24 hours. Then if he comes on and wrestles as a wild card on SmackDown, that's three matches, right? That's three matches in 1 day and a half?
Yeah.
I mean, they need to go they don't have to show everybody every week. You don't need to see Roman Reigns every week. You don't need to see AJ Styles every week, Samoa Joe every week. Rotate the roster.
Oh, I would agree. What happened to Aleister Black? I mean, this guy was so over. He was so over like a month ago, and now he's completely disappeared.
He's yelling at open doors, asking someone to fight him.
Yeah, he's yeah, exactly. And the funny thing about that, and that I find that, by the way, hilarious, because it's the same thing he would have done in the middle of the ring in front of a crowd, you know, saying, hey, you know, fight me, because that's what everyone else is doing. You know, that's what we got last week with Samoa Joe. He's like, I need someone to fight me, and then people show up. He's stuck in a room with nobody coming in, apparently, you know?
You know, there was a great tag team, too, but you got to... Then I thought to myself, Vince McMahon does not like tag teams. When it's a good... When it's something good, like, remember I always say, when it's a good team, it's going to break up fast with Vince.
They did a minute. Well, we got the Revival still. I mean, you know, I think Triple H is the one who was like in charge of tag teams, and he wants to keep them together. I think we had to split Aleister Black because his wife moved back to SmackDown, and so he had to go with her. That's not because it's anything Vince McMahon cared about. He loved what they were doing. I mean, if you think about it, wasn't the original, those two guys weren't originally together anyways, because we originally had Tommaso Ciampa. Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's just, you know, the luck of the injury and the luck of the draw. And by the way, you saw Mr. Ciampa there a week ago Saturday, and he was moving around pretty good. So it's good. There was a chance he wasn't coming back at all. Now it looks like he's just going to rehab and get back.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. He talked about Goldie. You know, he wants Goldie back. So
yeah, but I apologize, Vince. I didn't know Triple H was in charge of the tag team. Triple H, stop that.
Well, I mean, he's the one who tried to reinvigorate them on TV. Now, Vince McMahon does have the final say on everything. You are correct there. But, I mean, good tag team. There's no really – how many really tag teams are there that they haven't, you know, just patched two single guys together?
Usos.
The Usos. Revival. That, and some of the guys they brought up recently, AOP, you know. I mean, recently. They've been up for a year. But the War Machine – oops, sorry. I mean, the Viking Warriors. You know,
Viking Raiders.
Whatever.
The Viking something or others.
The Viking dudes.
Vote on the WWE Network. Find out what their next name would be.
Tag team wrestling. You know what? Sometimes, guys, if your tag team division is better than your regular division, meaning singles division, sometimes you just got to run more tag team matches.
Perfect example. DX. When DX was a tag team, they were in the main event every night, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they still run tag team matches every week. It's just put together things for title contenders and all that garbage.
Yeah, so it's like Troy,
you have a tag team match, player.
Hey Troy, anything else, buddy? Yeah.
Teddy Long in the building.
No, that was pretty much it. But besides, I'm hoping, like I said last week, rematch SummerSlam, Goldberg and The Undertaker. They deserve a rematch.
Yeah, I'm guessing we're never going to see that. Just
no,
because
I don't want to see somebody die in the ring.
Yeah, I think that what it is everybody was hurt, even our eyes and our brains, after watching it. So hopefully it doesn't happen again. Thanks for calling, Troy. 222-1280 star 1280. We got Tiger on the line. What's up, Tiger?
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
What's happening, brother? Tell us about your new organization.
Underworld Champions will be hitting Rochester, New York at the Mainstream Armory July 21st. It's a Sunday afternoon. Doors open at 1:30. Bell time is 2 o'clock. We're trying to give a different product to the area in general. The first thing you'll see that's going to stand out is a six-sided ring. Second thing is a seven-match card where half of it is actual first contenders matches. The second half is title matches. And then we're going to have one exhibition match, which can be anything. So we're looking at doing some different stuff. And as we're going to share matches weekly on our website, And the one thing you may notice when you actually watch these things, there's going to be a lot of post and pre-match segments that will be filmed. It's going to be presented in a very grindhouse, Lucha Underground style when you watch it. It's actually going to have a storyline that's going to be very, very intricate and weird.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So, you said July 21st?
Yes, sir.
So, Sunday, July 21st, Six-Sided Ring, Main Street Armory. What time is his doors open?
1:30.
And how? And you said seven matches, and the contender matches. For, this is a new organization, folks. Underworld Wrestling.
Underworld Champion.
Underworld Champion. So that's brand new in Rochester. We have another division here in Rochester to go up. And what now? You and I have talked about this. What's a little bit different than that people will see even during the matches that we don't see at any other wrestling here in Rochester?
Well, we got three different divisions that are each unique in their own way. We have the Greater Rochester Tag Team Division, which is going to be performed under Lucha rules, which means if the legal men end up outside the ring, their tag partners can become the legal men by entering the ring. You know, there's no count-outs in these matches. It's going to be very, very fast, you know, high impact, you know, just keep it exciting. You know, so that's something that we're looking forward to. We've got the Northeast City Division, which is your classic professional wrestling style, you know, that everyone is used to. Hopefully not, you know, WWE used to, but just professional wrestling used to, with the traditional rules. And then we have the UWC Network Championship, which some people do recall the tap-out division that we did in NEW and OSPW. It's like an evolution of that. It's got three rounds, all right, with a minute. We're playing with either a minute or 30-second break in between the rounds where they're going to be judged by three judges. The only way you can win is either knockout, submission, or by judge's rule. There is no countouts. There is no disqualification outside of the ring. So if you decided you want to use weapons outside the ring, it's going to get very ECW-like outside the ring. When you get in the ring, it's very UFC-like. So it's like a marriage of the two. You know, all the fans that have heard about it are really intrigued. You know, they're mainly adult fans. I haven't really explained this to any young guys, but all the adult fans seem very interested in this division. Okay. It's something that's...
Go ahead. Let me ask you, can you win? Is it a 10? Is it a 10-9 division or 10-9 10-9 round scoring deal? So you can win by, like, you know, winning three rounds instead of pinning or anything else?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
It's got three rounds, and it's being judged. One of the judges is the president, Mr. Perez, and we've got two other judges that are going to be named. They are going to be scoring. They're going to be scoring on you, right? So the thing is that, because I was asked this before, you know, well, what if they have favoritism towards one person or not? That could be a factor. You know, it's on their discretion how they score you.
Sure. And it's you say three judges, so you know, yeah. So it could be, even if it was one biased, you'd have two, maybe not.
Exactly. I mean, when you look at it, people's entertainment, you know, is different. Some people crave that, you know, that classic pro wrestling feel. So, you know, or the grappling feel. So they might lean more towards that and give a person points towards that. Some people will be into, you know, more of the violence and the craziness. So if stuff starts happening outside the ring, they might tend to grade more on that. You get what I'm saying? So it's like it makes it feel really like you don't know what you got to do. You really got to work. You know?
Cool, man. We can talk more about it as we get closer, brother. We definitely want you to come back and talk about it, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I want to give you guys tickets to give away, and we'll talk about that too.
Okay,
all right?
But definitely, man. Drive safe, because I know it sounds like you're on the road, man.
So I park.
All right, Tiger, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, 222-1280 Star Toys. And we're going to get a quick break. We'll be back right after that. You'll listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Now, before my client Brock Lesnar and I were willing to tell you and Seth Rollins when we were cashing in Money in the Bank, no longer, no more Mr. Nice Jew, no more Mr. Nice Beast. Now, we're not going to tell you. when we're cashing in the Money in the Bank contract.
Does that sound right? So you think it's pest of the world? Okay. Well then, let me do this right. He is the pest of the world, Shane McMahon.
I gotta get out of here, guys. I'm getting married in a couple of weeks. I gotta get out of here, seriously.
Dude, you getting married and you didn't invite me?
Dude, you're my best man.
Dude, be good with my hat. Careful.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
Nice.
Sorry.
You know what? I'm scared. I'm losing my 48-7 television European title.
Yes, you are.
I'm scared of blonde hair. And I'm also scared of Hornswoggle.
I'm not Hornswoggle. I'm just a very small man. Man, I don't want to play the game no more. Here's your hat. I got teeth.
This is Simon Diamond of ECW. You're listening to The Pain Clinic, pro wrestling talk show on 1280 WHTK. And if you're not listening intently, then Simon has a problem.
Welcome back. Simon Diamond. That was probably about 20 years old, that rejoiner. Yeah. You might remember him. I don't even know if he wrestles anymore. I think he's a cop now.
Irish Pat Kenny?
Irish Pat Kenny, that's right. So far out, 222-1280 Star Toys, and then we're going to go right to back to the phones. You know, we've got to get to some news some point, but we're going to go back to Scott from Henrietta. Scott! What's up, Scott?
This has been one of the more interesting conversations I've heard you guys have in a very long time about injuries. It's cool to listen to, actually.
Cool. Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know what? It's nice to have a worker in the studio with us, too, who, like, you know, sees it all. Sees, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, on the end
of... We've had workers in the studio before.
I know. You've worked, too. But
no,
I mean,
I'm not talking about me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, we've had...
I would never call what I did working.
Well, it was work back 20 years ago, you know, but...
Hey, man, you kept me entertained.
That was the gold pants, though.
The gold pants. No, I thought it was the monkey mask. Whoops, am I giving something away? No. Okay. But it's pretty cool. It's interesting because, you know, just this rash of injuries, you know, so that, yeah, I'm glad you're entertained, Scott.
Well, no, I think it's a testament to the different generations too, because you obviously touched on a couple generations ago when Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, they were hitting the road 300 days a year and rarely got injured because their bodies were so conditioned to what was going on.
I wouldn't say Flair was rarely injured. Flair's been injured since his plane crash. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, that's why he just curbed his style to his injuries. You right. know, that's why he does that weird
flare flop,
and the when he gets slammed, it's always on one side of his back because the other one was broken. So,
well, I mean, yeah, but you also think about like Arn Anderson and you know some of the longtime guys who are who lived a very rough lifestyle in the 80s, constantly being on the road. And their problems later in life, with the exception of maybe the Dynamite Kid, are a lot more around drinking and substance abuse instead of actual physical problems.
Well, I mean, Arn Anderson has a useless left arm now because of injuries he's sustained when he was in his pinnacle, and he didn't want to have it taken care of because he didn't want to stop his push. You know,
exactly.
You know, that same couple of people have done that. I remember Paul Orndorff had the little arm too because he was. It's like you can be in a main event with Hulk Hogan and make a ton of money, or you can go have this taken care of and be gone for a couple of years. You know, so it is a fine line you draw there with injuries.
And you see it now with Tommaso Ciampa, where Ciampa had the choice. You know, he was losing feeling in his arm.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been wrestling. He wouldn't have been wrestling.
Well, they took the choice away from him.
Yeah. I was going to say he was to the point where, I mean, if there's been guys who can't grip their hands. Okay, that's
Jason Jordan.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem. You know, if you can't, you know, because your partner in the ring is depending on you to be able to do everything, you know, without, you know, like you're not injured. And if you can't grip your hands, then that's kind of like dropping people and stuff. You know.
It's a sad state to see. I mean, obviously, with you see matches with Andrade and Gargano, and you think, oh my God, how is his head doing it? But you see how well Andrade protects him when he's hitting him with those knees in the corners. But in the same sense, you see matches like Gargano and Ciampa, and then you say, holy crap, they're going to pay for it. And then lo and behold, you know, a year later. We've got video features of Ciampa getting his neck surgery, and you know it's heartbreaking to see, especially when he's there holding his little girl, and you see how hard it was for him to even have a child when they tell you the story of how of Willow. But it's, you know, it's that choice you make, I guess, where you can choose to set the tone and you can choose to tell these great, to do these great matches, or you can choose to quote Matt Hardy, be a spot monkey and get yourself hurt all the time. So
I think the big thing you got to remember, though, is the wrestlers of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s would rather work through an injury because of the fact that they were still trying to portray a big, bad, tough guy. And big, bad, tough guys don't get hurt.
Well, that and there was no guaranteed money.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, you look at it now, I think the most important thing is people, you look at a guy like Tommaso Ciampa with his neck injury and his surgery and everything that went into it. The reason that they're highlighting that is because they want to show this is a dangerous sport. This is something where you take a lot of injury and toll to your body because, you know, not only are they training in the ring, but they're actually physically training at gyms. They're working out, they're lifting. They have to stay at pinnacle shape at all points in time, and bodybuilders will even tell you you can't stay at pinnacle point all the time.
Sure.
And so that's the big thing you got to remember is I think that we're now in a generation where it's okay to admit, yes, I'm hurt, but I'll be back and I'll be stronger.
Have you ever seen Beyond the Mat?
Yeah.
You remember Terry Funk's x-rays on his knees?
Mm-hmm.
And how about how they said he had no cartilage in either of his knees and that he was going to have complete knee replacement?
Yep.
And he's still wrestled for another 15 years after that movie came out.
Yeah, I can't believe 103 retirements.
Yeah, yes. And I believe Dennis Stamp is someplace in heaven jumping on a trampoline waiting
he's
to get
still
in.
Not booked. He's no, not, he didn't get in. He wasn't booked.
That's right. Hey, Scott, we got to run to break. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, 222-1280 if we get you in the last segment. We actually got to do some news, believe it or not. I have some news here. And nothing of it's groundbreaking, but there is some news. So we'll do that on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
This is the UK's own Douglas Williams. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Douglas Williams, remember him from Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling?
Cash, you're bringing back all the old like intros. When are we bringing back the shirts, man?
The shirts?
I want the pain shirts.
I will bring you a pain shirt next time I see you.
My man.
All right.
My man.
222-1280, Star Toy is the number. Thank you. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Danger Boy, Double B, Brian Burke, Double E, Eric Eminon, and you. Thank you so much. Some real quick news before we get out of here. All Out pay-per-view for all the All Elite Wrestling went on sale, what was it, yesterday, and it sold out in 15 minutes, which is pretty big news for a company that still does not have TV, does not have...
they have two huge matches already signed for that show.
Yeah, so, and we've got, we will see...
Moxley versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah, and Jericho and...
Hangman Page.
Hangman Page for the title, for the All AEW title, which is pretty cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so it's sold out. So if you want to go to Chicago, you know, you probably can buy some tickets secondhand, you know, pay a little bit too much for them. But, or watch it on pay-per-view from your comfort of your living room, recliner, or couch. But some other news. John Cena was asked about the Goldberg-Undertaker match recently. And
did he get excited when he was talking about Undertaker?
I heard something popped up during that conversation.
Yeah. It may have, but he did talk about how he's thinking about retiring himself because he's... he doesn't have time for wrestling, and he's making too much money in the movies.
It would be nice if we could see him.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We can't.
We can't
see him.
No, never.
That's how we hid that unfortunate incident.
You got it, because nobody can see him.
Oh, my gosh. So Lars Sullivan's injured. We talked about that. He's been pulled from... he was supposed to wrestle with Matt Hardy, but they pulled him from the match this Thursday. We'll see how long he'll be out. Ron Simmons and Ric Flair were doing some interviews in Atlanta yesterday for the A&E documentary series on the WWE Hall of Famer Booker T. Remember, A&E is doing like five documentaries on five different wrestlers. That'll be pretty cool. One of them is going to be Rowdy Roddy Piper, which The Rock is also trying to make a documentary with his production company on Rowdy Roddy Piper. And I'll leave you with this, and I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you guys for coming this week. Bray Wyatt is supposed to be at the arena on Monday.
And it's the first time in forever.
It's the first time in forever, so...
And if you haven't seen this week's Firefly Funhouse, it's disturbing.
Yes, it is. So we'll leave you on that. We'll talk to you next week. Yes. Have a good week, and body slam somebody alive.